The following Dharma talk was given at the Henry David Thoreau Sangha in Newton, Massachusetts. The Sangha is an affiliate of Boundless Way Zen, a multi-lineage school of Zen Buddhism. Tonight, I'd like to talk about something that we don't talk about all that much, about spiritual friendships. Spiritual friends who accompany us on this strange path of awakening. There's a famous encounter of the Buddha with his young disciple, Ananda, in which Ananda says to the Buddha one day, "I've realized that half of the path to the holy life is made of good friendships." And the Buddha replies, "No, Ananda, friends are not half of the holy life. They are all of the holy life." Such a striking encounter. Ananda is often the one who is typecast as the person who can ask the naive questions, the "I don't know what's going on here" questions. And he asks this most basic question about how important friendships are on the path of Zen, on the Buddhist path. And the Buddha says they're everything. So striking, because this is a solitary endeavor in so many ways. We sit and meditate alone. There's another famous encounter that the Buddha has with another young monk, a monk named Meghia. And it's said that Meghia really wanted to go off by himself, to leave the Buddha's Sangha and meditate on his own in a mango grove that was especially beautiful and peaceful. And the Buddha says, "Go." And Meghia sits down by himself to meditate and finds that his mind is just exploding with confusing, lustful, angry, difficult thoughts. Monkey mind, as we all know it. And so Meghia rushes back to tell the Buddha about this experience. And of course, the Buddha takes this opportunity to teach. He says to Meghia, "Five things induce release of the heart and lasting peace. First, a lovely intimacy with good friends. Second, virtuous conduct. Third, frequent conversation that inspires and encourages practice. Fourth, diligence, energy, and enthusiasm for what is good. And fifth, insight into impermanence." And the Buddha offers Meghia this list of five things. And as you know, early Buddhism in particular was very fond of making lists because it makes the teachings easier to remember, particularly in a time before they were written down. So the Buddha lists these things again, but he starts each item with the first. He says, When there is a lovely intimacy between friends, then there is virtuous conduct. When there's a lovely intimacy between friends, then there's frequent conversation that inspires and encourages practice. When there is a lovely intimacy between friends, there's diligence, energy, and enthusiasm for what is good. And when there is a lovely intimacy between friends, there is insight into impermanence. And the Buddha is promising a lot. He says about these five things that they induce the release of the heart and lasting peace. And he says, all of this rests on intimacy between friends. What are we talking about when we talk about spiritual friendship? I did not come to Zen looking for friends. In fact, far from it. I just wanted to sit by myself and meditate and find some peace. In fact, I came to this Sangha, to Hank, on a Monday night, many years ago now, almost out of desperation, because I had tried to meditate on my own, like Meghia, like that monk. I had tried on my own over and over again. And I would be able to meditate for a while each day, and then I'd get busy, my mind would get busy, I would feel rushed, and I would let the practice go, just when I needed the practice the most. And when I was bemoaning this to someone who was farther along the path, she said to me, you need to find a group to sit with regularly, and you need to find a teacher. So, out of desperation, kind of a last resort, I wandered into Hank on a Monday night. And what I found, which I still don't fully understand, is that once I did that, I sustained my practice. Once I did that, it didn't matter how busy I was, it didn't matter how distracted I was, something enabled me to practice on my own. As long as I sat with all of you on Monday nights. The Buddha really understood the power of these connections. So, what makes a spiritual friend different from the many other kinds of friendships that we have in our lives? Well, the Buddha had a list for that too. He said there were four qualities. A spiritual friend is someone who helps and who takes care of us even when we're not taking care of ourselves. A spiritual friend is someone who's the same in happy and unhappy times. A spiritual friend is the friend who points out what is good for you and tells you the truth when something is not good for you. And a spiritual friend is sympathetic. Both sympathetic when you are in a time of suffering and sympathetic when you are in a time of joy. Perhaps you have found that there is something different about the people who you come to know as part of your Zen practice. When I was first practicing Zen, I was so excited about all that I was learning, and I spent some time with my oldest childhood friend. We'd gone to kindergarten together and all the way through school. A wonderful, bright person. And I started bubbling away about impermanence and emptiness. And he looked at me and said, "Bob, those are really interesting theories, but they don't do a thing for me." And what I came to understand was that there's something about the connections we make because we care deeply about these questions of life and death and the experience of being human in this burning world. And we come together to chant about it, to talk about it, to sit together and experience our hearts breaking about it. And that most people in my life don't do that. Perhaps most people in your life don't do that either. As I said, I don't know, several weeks ago, that when I heard the five remembrances, I found it exhilarating. Other people find it depressing and don't ever want to hear those words again. So there's something about the commitment that we make to each other to turn toward the truth of existence, of impermanence, that is something rare, something that we can find among our friends who are not on this path. But it's much harder to find. So how does lovely intimacy with good friends promote virtuous conduct? Well, think about it. We take the precepts, and even if you haven't taken the precepts, you've certainly recited them and seen them. And I find sometimes, as I'm about to break a precept, I think to myself, what would people in the Sangha think of this? And I literally find myself envisioning Meg Cabot's living room, because that was the place that we had our precept study group, where we talked in depth about these moral precepts that are the foundation of Buddhist practice. And it is all of us aspiring to uphold these practices, these precepts, that inspires me to keep watching my conduct, not because I keep the precepts all the time. Lord knows I don't. But because you are my North Stars, your commitment to the good, to what is skillful, inspires me to keep checking in with myself about what I'm doing in my life. And so this diligence and energy and enthusiasm for the good is something that we encourage in each other, not because we all manage to live up to these ideals. Of course we don't, but because we keep trying, and because we are a group of people committed to trying in a world where self-promotion, self-centeredness, and disregard of the whole is increasingly common and increasingly frustrating. And of course, there's insight into impermanence. How is it that spiritual friendships offer us insight into impermanence? Well, first of all, friendships aren't always smooth. I do things that disappoint my friends, and they disappoint me. There are bumps in the road of friendship, to be sure. The closer the friendship, the more we invest, the bumpier the road can be. And so we watch the ebb and flow of harmony, the rising and falling away of conflict, and we abide with each other through it all, through the happy times and the unhappy times of friendship. And of course, there is the more literal view of impermanence that we get with each other. We were joking before our sitting about many of us with less hair than we used to have, with whiter hair than we used to have. And of course, we have had Sangha mates pass away. We are growing together. We are growing and going through life, and many of us growing old together. Committed to understanding the truth of impermanence moment to moment and the truth of impermanence over the span of our lives. These are friendships that are special. And of course, the other friendships we have in our lives are vitally important and provide all kinds of nourishment for us. But these spiritual friendships, they keep us on this path of awakening, and they keep us on this path that aspires to what is good. And so, we are not deceived by the apparent aloneness of sitting here quietly meditating together. But we remember what the Buddha said to Ananda. Friends are not half of the holy life. They are all of the holy life. Thank you.